holy, holy, holy are you, my Lord. Heaven and earth are filled with your glory. Hosanna highest. Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto you. And only unto you, my King. For you, you have made the way. You have sacrificed your Son. You have manifested yourself in this realm. You have left us your Spirit. You have left us weapons of warfare. You have left us truth. And you have left us your presence. What an honor. And again, we ask tonight, Father, for your forgiveness, for your mercies and grace. We repent for every area where we've offended you. Wash us with the blood of the Lamb. And fill us with your Spirit that we may be refreshed in your presence. Sending forth your word to each and every one here that by the stripes of Jesus that they would be healed. Let the anointing break every yoke of bondage. Loosing those from torment, mindsets and strongholds. Sickness, disease, and infirmities, and labels of ancestral curses. Loose them from the religious spirits. Loose them from doubt, fear, and unbelief. Loose them from every area that will cause them to stumble, Lord. And hide us in the secret place, that we may be fed from your throne room. And bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Slap your neighbor and tell him this is your night. Glory. Woo, yeah. Hallelujah. Would you grab your swords? Turn to Psalm 84. Oh, don't get religious on me now, will you? What kind of pastor would say that? A righteous one. Psalm 84. Starting at verse 1. Is everybody there? Psalm 84, 1. Let's read this together. How lovely is your tabernacle. In other words, the place of your dwelling. O Lord of hosts, my soul longs, yes, even faints for the what? The courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. What's he saying? Where's the living God? In the courts of the Lord. Amen. These are his courts. There's specific places where he meets you. There's all kinds of things in these courts. It's called the tabernacle of God. Everything evolves around the tabernacle of God. In verse 3, even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They shall still be praising you. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. This is what he's calling the courts of the Lord. Everybody will appear in the court of the Lord. Hello. There are courts of the Lord. And these are also known as chambers of his tabernacle. It says, O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer and give ear, O God of Jacob. O God, behold our shield and look upon the face of your anointed. Who is the anointed? We are. We're going to go do that later. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. What is he saying? One day in your court is better than a thousand days. Has everybody got it? I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will be withheld from those who what? Walk upright. Why? Because if an individual is walking upright, he will have access to the courts of the Lord. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Awesome. We will neither faint. Amen. You know, so many times there's that area, and especially in the natural realm, you know, everybody gets attacked. There's demonic pressure, there's demonic influence everywhere. And in the one thing that we always are trying to do is access the courts of the Lord. Walk in the courts of the Lord. Walk in His presence. Because that's where everything is. Everything is in His court. Has everybody got it? Not our court. His court. And that's one of the things that we always are fighting for, is to access into His court. And the enemy does everything he can to prevent us from getting into the courts of the Lord. In fact, when you get in there, he tries to sway you to come out. In the courts of the Lord is a place of His dwelling, the place of His fellowship, place of provision, protection, and future. Nothing will be withheld from us for those who walk uprightly. Why? Because those who walk uprightly have access to the courts of the Lord. And nothing will be withheld. Has everybody got it? Now, so many times people will think, well, why hasn't this come yet? Well, because maybe it's not God's time. Maybe you overstepped your boundaries in something. And God had to hold back. He was getting ready to release something, and the enemy convinced you to do something, and God had to hold back from releasing that. Because remember, nothing is released until the will is done. Then the release comes. When the will is done, the release comes. When the will is done, the release comes. Psalm 92. Psalm 92. It's just for you. Verse 8. Psalm 92 and verse 8. Will you read it with me? But you, Lord, are on high forevermore. For behold your enemies, O Lord, for behold your enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn you have exalted like a wild ox. I have been anointed with what? Fresh oil. And that's something that is released in His courts. The word says that when you repent, you will be refreshed in the presence of the Lord. Why? Because there's a access. See, the blood always must go before. The blood must always be activated before you can access anything of God. That's where you have to come in to His presence with clean hands and a pure heart. Clean hands and a what? Pure heart. Let's go a little further. It says verse 11, my eyes also have seen my desire on my enemies. How many of y'all want your eyes to see the desires on your enemies? I see it happen. I see it. I watch. I see the righteous brought up, and I see the wicked be brought down. It says, my ears hear my desire on the wicked who rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Now, I want you to understand something. God places us in a fellowship. When you are planted in the fellowship that God has placed you, the anointing flows to you. Everything is available for you. Just make sure you're placed in the right one. Hello. And so when you are planted in the house of the Lord, it says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of God. So as the area of you are submissive to where God has planted you, and you are walking upright because you are planted, you are going to flourish In other words, you will prosper. That will be a part. That will be your desire. You will live in the courts of the Lord. That's where you live. Has everybody got it? Let's go a little further. They shall still bear fruit in old age. Hallelujah. They shall be fresh and flourishing. They shall be what? Fresh. They shall be flesh and cooking. You will be a sweet aroma to the Lord. They shall bear fruit in old age. Hallelujah. And they shall be fresh and flourishing. To declare that the Lord is upright. Why are you going to be fresh and flourishing? So you can declare that the Lord is what? Upright, so you can be a witness, so you can express and declare the great things that God has done for you. Planted in the house of God is planted in the fellowship that God has placed you. The worst thing you can do is be successful in the wrong assignment. Planted in the house of God, fellowship shall flourish in his courts. Why? Because this is all associated with obedience. Obedience. Go to 1 Chronicles 28. 1 Chronicles 28. The courts of the Lord. And here's David speaking to his son Solomon. In verse 9, David could not build the house of God because he had blood on his hands. The word says you must have clean hands and a pure heart. And David had blood on his hands because he had killed his right-hand man and committed adultery. And but his desire was to build the house of God. God forgave him, but it brought an iniquity, a curse on the family line. So his sons had to absorb it. So all of his sons fell into fornication. But Solomon received the calling and the anointing to build the house of God. And in verse 9, he says, as for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a what? A loyal heart and with a what? Willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. So he searches the hearts and knows with the intent. In other words, he already knows what your motive is. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Now, you're not in here by coincidence. God has handpicked you to be here tonight. There's a purpose and a reason. Why? Because one of the things he's saying to you is be strong and do it. Quit playing games. Get your eyes off of yourself. Get your eyes off the world. Get your eyes off of your mistakes. Get your eyes off of your failures. Get your eyes off of your successes. Get your stinky eyes off of you. And get them on him. Because only your eyes on him can you build the house of God. And where is the house of God? Right here. You are the temple. You are. You are a mobile sanctuary. Fully armed and dangerous. You are also stealth. Because you, when you are cloaked with humility, you become invisible. Oh, there's such an array of weaponry, if people could just grab hold of it. See, but there are so many times people are just looking at the carnal arena. And fear grips them. See, fear always keeps you in the natural. But trust will always keep you in the spirit. That's why you got to always combat. Well, it says, the Bible says, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but what? Power, love, and sound mind. Hello, what more do you need? Glory. Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Then David gave his son Solomon the plans for the vestibule. Its houses, its treasures, its upper chambers, its inner chambers, and the place of the mercy seat. And the plans for all that he had by the Spirit of the courts of the house of the Lord, of all the chambers all around, of the treasures of the house of God, and of the treasures for the dedicated things. Also for the division of the priests and the Levites, for all the work of the service of the house of the Lord, for all the articles of service in the house of the Lord. So the Lord gave David the plans. He wrote them down. He drew it out for Solomon. And Solomon inherited the plans to build the house of God. And that's what you've been inherited. Has everybody got it? You've inherited to build the house of God. And that is this house right here. Solomon was called to build the house of God, known as the sanctuary. He was called to build the chambers, the courts. And not only that, he was granted to go get access and bring all the treasures in. Has everybody got it? Why? So that others, when needed, could be provided from the house of God. But within you are hidden treasures. There are deep wells within you that are unsearchable by the carnal mind, only searchable by the mind of the Spirit. That's why the Word tells us that many can't get the things of the Spirit because they're not in the Spirit. They're too busy in an outward relationship, too busy in an outward ritual and not an inward walk. And there is a difference. We are called to dwell in the courts of the Lord. Go to Zechariah 3. Zechariah chapter 3. In your presence, the courts of the Lord. Oh, yes. Zechariah chapter 3. In verse 1, let's read this together. Then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to what? Oppose him. You think Satan wants you to dwell in the courts of the Lord? No way. He'll oppose you every way he can. He'll come up with every excuse. And one of the things he loves is laziness. Oh, he loves laziness. Why? Because he knows if you're lazy, he's got you. He's the author of laziness. He's the manifester of compromise. Hello. And he's the prince of deception. Hello. He loves you. He loves laziness. He loves when you get into that position because he knows he can hold you from going forward. And he knows that if he can hold you from going forward, he can convince you of all the things carnally as he slowly begins to plaster your eyes again and bring blindness. And he slowly moves you out of the outer court, moves you out of the holy place, moves you out of the holy place to the outer court. The next thing you know, you're back where you were. How did I get here? Laziness. It just started with laziness. See, he loves to tell you you're tired. He loves to tell you you can't do something. He loves to convince you that there's something better. Do you understand that? In the area of his realm. Hello. Not in the realm of the Spirit, but in his realm. He wants to bring fear to you in the area that you might miss God. Come on, are you with me? Why, if he can convince you that you become anxious. Man, he ain't stupid. The Bible says he's the most cunning beast God created. He'll bring some. Listen, you don't think. I got to tell you something. He knows what you're thinking. So if he knows what you're thinking, he's going to try to bring something counterfeit to you. And if he can bring something counterfeit to you, the reason why people grab it and run with it is because they're lazy, not willing to get into the courts of the Lord to find out what's up. Come on, are you with me? They're lazy because they won't get counsel. They're lazy. Come on, are you listening? The Bible says in a multitude of counsel is what? Safety and wisdom. And pride will cover them because they've been a believer for so many years. They've been to so many Bible studies. Hello. They've made it already. They actually become granola, nutty and fruity. Hallelujah. Satan will do everything he can to oppose you. Is everybody with me? And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not the brand plucked from the fire? Now Joshua is clothed with what? Filthy garments, and was standing before the angel. Then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. This is you and me. Take away the filthy garments. And to him he said, see, I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes. Those robes are called the garments of righteousness. And I said, let him put on a clean turban on his head. That's the mind of Christ. So they put a clean turban on his head, and they put the clothes on him, and the angel of the Lord stood by. Then the angel of the Lord admonished Joshua, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways, if you will keep my command, then you shall also judge my house and likewise have charge of my courts. In other words, you will upkeep, you will maintain the courts of the Lord. I will give you places to walk, yes, among these who stand here. Now, how many of y'all want that? That be in charge of the courts of the Lord. He says he'll bring you places. In other words, you will go places you've never could imagine in the Spirit. Is everybody okay? These filthy garments are our representation of unrighteousness, filth of the world, the dust of the world. In other words, we had to have a change of garments to be able to access the courts. Access. And in these garments that we wear, and what we are judged by are our garments, if they're blemished or not, either qualifies you or disqualifies you to access the courts of the Lord. Are you listening? Is everybody okay? Praise God. Go to Ezekiel 10. Those are pre-qualification garments. Ezekiel chapter 10. Ezekiel chapter 10. Yes. How many of y'all want charge in the courts of the Lord? Hallelujah. And Ezekiel chapter 10 and verse 1. Let's read it together. And I looked, and there in the firmament that was above the head of the cherubim, there appeared something like a sapphire stone, having the appearance and the likeness of a throne. Then he spoke to the man clothed with linen and said, go in among the wheels under the cherub, fill your hands with the coals of fire from among the cherubim, and scatter them over the city. And he went in as I watched. Now the cherubim were standing on the south side of the temple when the man went in, and the cloud filled the what? The inner court. The cloud filled the what? Inner court, that is the glory of the Lord. There are three chambers or three courts of the Lord. There's the outer, the holy place, and the most holy place. Are you listening? Now, if you've ever seen the tabernacle of God, I want to explain this before we go on. And I'll repeat this in a little bit. The tabernacle of God on the outer court is the sacrifice. That's where the blood is. But the tabernacle of God on the outer court, there is no covering. It is covered spiritually by the blood. In the holy place, it is covered by the Spirit. In the most holy place, it is covered by the glory. Has everybody got it? Everybody okay? The outer court is covered by the blood. The holy place is covered by the Spirit. And the most holy place is covered by the glory. Okay, so now the cherubim were standing on the south side of the temple when the man went in and the cloud filled the inner court. Then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub and passed over the threshing of the temple. And the house was filled with the cloud, and the court was full of the brightness of the Lord's glory. And the sound of the wings of the cherubim were what? Heard, even in the what? Outer court, because this was not happening on the outer court. It was happening in the inner court. But in the outer court, they could hear what was happening on the inner court. Like a voice of the Almighty God when He speaks. Then it happened, when He commanded a man clothed in linen, saying, take fire from among the wheels, from among the cherubim, that he went in and stood beside the wheels, and the cherub stretched out his hand from among the cherubim to the fire that was among the cherubim, and took some of it and put it in the hands of the man clothed with linen, who took it and went out. So again, the cloud of glory is in the inner court. It is called the most holy place. That's where the brightness of God is. And if you ever, in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, when they had the tabernacle established, when they did the sacrifices, they used to sacrifice every day for the sins. And then the priest once a year would go into the most holy place with the blood and sprinkle it seven times on the Ark of the Covenant, representing the seven places Christ was pierced. And in that, the light, the glory of God would come in there. There'd be no light in there. And the glory of God would come. There ain't no shadows in there either. And the light of the glory of God would come right in the most holy place. And let me tell you something. That priest better be in order. They used to put a bell around his ankle and a rope around his ankle. And you'd hear a ringy-dingy, and he fell out if he wasn't right. And they used to pull him out. Then they would send the next one in. Hallelujah. Because God is holy. He is holy. So again, the brightness in the inner court, the glory was in the inner court. They can only hear in the outer court because everything was in the inner court. Go to Ezekiel 43. These are the courts of the Lord. Ezekiel 43. Is everybody okay? Are you getting this? We're getting somewhere. Ezekiel 43, verse 1. Now you got to remember that the Lord, the Spirit of God, has taken Ezekiel to all these places. Afterward, in verse 1, he brought me to the gate that faces toward the east. And behold, the glory of God of Israel came from the way of the east. His voice was like the sound of many waters, and the earth shone with his glory. It was like an appearance of the vision which I saw, like the vision which I saw when I came to destroy the city. The visions were like the vision which I saw by the river Chebar, and I fell on my face. And the glory of the Lord came into the temple by way of the gate which faces toward the east. The Spirit lifted me up and brought me into the inner court. And behold, the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Then I heard him speaking to me from the temple while a man stood beside me. And he said to me, Son of man, this is the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever. No more shall the house of Israel defile my name, they nor their kings, by their harlotry, or with the carcasses of their kings on the high places. Now this is powerful because one of the things is, he's talking about an area of the place which he called his throne. Now, the courts of the Lord is spiritual places and physical places. They are spiritual places and they are physical places. Is everybody okay? So what he just explained to us here is a spiritual place. Has everybody got it? This is the spiritual place. And Ezekiel 44 in verse 9. Thus says the Lord God, no foreigner, uncircumcised in heart or uncircumcised in flesh, shall enter my sanctuary, including any foreigner who is among the children of Israel. In other words, anyone that is not covenant cannot access the courts of the Lord. If you are not coveted, if you are not covenant, does everybody understand that? You are covenant by the blood of the Lamb. You are covenant by the blood. Has everybody got it? So if there is anyone that is not covenant with the Lord, he cannot access the courts of the Lord. And verse 10, and the Levites who went far from me when Israel was astray, who strayed away from me after their what? Idols. They shall bear their iniquity. Yet they shall be ministers in my sanctuary as gatekeepers of the house and ministers of the house. They shall slay the burnt offering and the sacrifices for the people, and they shall stand before them to minister to them. So what had happened was, during this period of time, there are many of the Levites, the priests, who walked away from the Lord during troubles. And there were those who stood with the Lord, no matter what. And those who walked away no longer could minister to the Lord. They had to minister in the outer courts. They no longer had access in the inner places, in the inner sanctuaries, in the inner courts. Is everybody okay? And this is why, verse 12, because they ministered to them before their what? Idols, and caused the house of Israel to fall into iniquity. Therefore, I have raised my hand in an oath against them, says the Lord God, that they shall bear their iniquity, and they shall not come near me to minister to me as a priest, nor come near any of my holy things, nor enter my what? Most holy place. But they shall bear their shame and their abominations which they have committed. Nevertheless, I will make them keep charge of the temple for all its work and for all that has been done in it. But the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok, something like that, who kept charge of my sanctuary when the children of Israel went astray from me, they shall come near me to minister to me, and they shall stand before me to offer to me the fat and the blood, says the Lord. They shall enter my sanctuary, and they shall come near my table to minister to me, and they shall keep my charge. And it shall be whenever they enter the gates of the inner court that they shall put on linen garments. No wool shall come upon them while they minister within the gates of the inner court or within the house. They shall have linen turbans on their heads and linen trousers on their bodies. They shall not clothe themselves with anything that causes sweat. Why? Because at that period of time, even sweat was defiling to God. You could not minister to the Lord in sweat. Pretty wild, huh? Thank God we're covered by the blood. Hallelujah, because we do a lot of sweating in here. But the sweat's wiped out through the blood. We're sweatless by the blood. Glory to the Lamb. When they go out to the outer court, to the outer court to the people, they shall take off their garments in which they have ministered, leave them in the holy chambers, and put on other garments, and in their holy garments they shall not sanctify the people. Does everybody see that? So in this one, before they would leave, they'd have to leave their garments into the sanctuary. They could not wear them out to people because it was holy. It was sanctified unto the Lord. There were certain things that you wore, certain things that you had to have on when you went into the courts of the Lord. See, but we have that now. That's called the garments of righteousness. His righteousness, not our own. That's why nothing will be withheld to someone who's walking upright. But if you're not walking upright, things will be withheld. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. It says, no foreigner, those with idols. This now, again, this was about the physical tabernacle, wasn't it? This was the physical. We talked about the spiritual. This is the physical one. This is the one that they built, the one that they accessed to. This was known as the physical. The three chambers of the courts of the physical. Of course, the outer court, the holy place, and the most holy place. The Old Testament was associated with the physical. The New Testament and New Covenant is associated with the spiritual because it is the ministry of the Spirit. Is everybody okay? Everybody all right? Now, what's powerful, why is it the ministry of the Spirit? Because Jesus came into the natural realm and brought all three courts. And in John 14, in verse 6, Jesus said, you don't have to go there. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except for through me. In those three areas, he mentions all three chambers or all three courts of the Lord. Jesus brought all three courts in so that now you and I can walk into the Spirit and access all three courts. The outer court now is known as the court of salvation. The holy place is known as the court of priesthood. And the most holy place is known as the court of kingship. Are you listening? The outer court is salvation. The holy place is known as priesthood. It is the court of priests. And the most holy place is the court of kings. And those are three anointings, and I'm not going to talk about that tonight. The physical realm to access the eternal kingdom and all its attributes and provisions. Only by covenant can they be accessed. It must be by covenant. And a covenant, now listen, is established by the blood. It is kept by His Spirit that mentors us. And what is He mentoring us with? Being obedient. With obedience to work out your salvation. You are maintaining covenant so you have access to all of these areas. Go to Matthew 8. Matthew chapter 8, in verse 5, it says, now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. Then the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. I love it. Only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and another one, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Whoa. Many of the kingdom will not follow, and they will be cast out into outer darkness. You know, we hear so much about the chambers of the Lord, but nobody talks about this chamber. They just talk about hell, but there isn't really not a full understanding of it. They just think that it's a place that's going to burn forever and so forth. But I'm telling you that there is an outer darkness. It is a chamber I do not want to live in, but we once did. Are you listening? The three chambers of the Lord are the outer court, the holy place, the most holy place. Anything else around it is called outer darkness. It is the chamber, it is a court that is called outer darkness. And I believe that the Spirit is trying to bring us understanding of the outer darkness, where there is gnashing, weeping and gnashing of teeth. And he said that many of the kingdom will not follow and cast into outer darkness, which is right outside of the outer court. Physical, there's a physical outer darkness and a spiritual outer darkness. The physical outer darkness is the earth. Come on. The physical outer darkness is the earth. The spiritual outer darkness, of course, is what we call hell, Hades. Is everybody okay? Matthew 22. We were in outer darkness, separated from God. We were under the control of the voice of the enemy. We were tormented. We walked in fear. That is called outer darkness. The world is outer darkness, the physical arena. But then there is a spiritual arena we call Hades or hell. In Matthew 22, so he says here already that many will, even in the kingdom, will stop following. The word warns us that many in the latter days will fall from the faith, taking heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Matthew 22, verse 1. Is everybody there? And Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Again, he sent out other servants, saying, tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious, and he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on the wedding garments, the garment of righteousness, the priestly garment. And he said to him, friend, that's the same thing he said to Judas, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And the man was speechless. Then the king said to the servant, bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. Whoa. Matthew 25. Matthew 25. Verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another he gave 2, and to another 1. To each one according to his ability. God will never give you more than you can handle. Good and bad. No, he'll not give you more money than you can handle. Are you listening? Hallelujah. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded them in and made another 5 talents. Likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more. And he who had received 1 went and dug it in the ground and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received the 5 talents came and brought the other 5 talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. And his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who had received 2 talents came, Lord, you delivered me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more. And his Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant, for you have been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter the joy of your Lord. And then he who received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you'd be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was what? Afraid. When we talked about fear preventing the individuals from getting into the courts. And I was afraid and went and hid your talents in the ground. Unfortunately, he hid it in the outer darkness. Look, there you have what's yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give to him who has 10 talents. For everyone who has more will be given, and he will have abundance. But for him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Unprofitable servant. Started right, ended wrong. Outer darkness. In the outer darkness, there is great remorse, torment, fear, regret, separation from God. No truth, no purpose, self-survival, blinding, and bringing in bondage. They are lost. That's why God has raised us up. Amen? That way they be drawn out of outer darkness and into the outer court. That's what we're to do. In 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 and verse... No. Yeah. 1 John chapter 5 verse 18. Is everybody there? 1 John chapter 5 verse 18. And we know that whoever is born of God does not sin. But he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. There's only one place the wicked one cannot touch you. It's called the courts of the Lord. It's a secret place. It's the holy most. It's the holy place, the most holy place. The enemy cannot access that area. Does everybody got it? He can't get you. He can't touch this. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Why? Because the whole world in the physical is outer darkness. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that that we may know him who is true. We are in him who is true. In his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourself from idols. Why? Because they will move you out of the courts of the Lord into outer darkness. Do you mind? I see many people. The Bible says the root of all evil is money. The love of money. There's nothing wrong with having money. But when it becomes your God, it is the root of all evil. People become worker idiots. Everything to them is money. See, to them, money is everything. Without money, they're nothing. That means they love money more than they do God. I'm nothing without money. Well, when you are out of darkness, you are nothing with it and without it. See, that's a ploy, that's the sway of the enemy to make money the god of the life that will draw you right out of the Lord's courts and put you right into outer darkness where there's regret, torment, blindness, bondage, slavery. Does everybody understand this? That is called outer darkness. The world, according to the world is in outer darkness right now. The ruler of this world is the prince of darkness. Amen? So it have to be outer darkness. And what the enemy wants to do is keep you from the courts of the Lord and keep you in outer darkness where he's got you enslaved. Where you may think that you're doing okay. Okay ain't right. Okay don't make it home. How you doing? Okay. That ain't good enough. You went out of darkness. See, because if you're in the court, you can't stop and say, blessed! Blessed! How you doing? I'm blessed! Praise God. I don't care how I feel. I don't care what people think about me. I'm blessed. Why? Because I live in the courts of the Lord. It's my home. That's where I'm fed. He says, feed on my faithfulness, right? Oh, glory. Go to 1 John chapter 1. See, when it says to sway the wicked one or the ruler of the earth, what he's trying to do is put you to sleep. See, he wants to give you the demonic anesthetic. He likes to put us to sleep, so he slowly moves you. See, you don't have the clarity you used to. You don't see what you used to see when you're in. See, there's vision, there's sight, there's clarity in the courts of the Lord. But as he begins to move you away out of that, you become sleepy. And you pick up the Bible and it's nap time. You use it for a pillow instead of read it. Because he's got you right where he wants you. I don't have time to read this. I'll just go to church. He's got you drowsy. And he's slowly feeding you things that will cause you to go into outer darkness. See, what he does is he begins to exchange the presence of God for the presence of self. Then you get fulfilled on your accomplishments instead of pleasing him. Yeah, man, I made 40 sales today. Hallelujah! Are you listening? No, the Lord bless me with his presence. See, the greatest thing that you can do to please God is to obey. And the greatest thing that can please you is to know you pleased God. And you give him all the glory. You give him all the glory. It's a blessing to bring somebody to the Lord, isn't it? But it's not you that set it up. It's him. I was ministering in the jail today, and I was sharing some stuff, and I put on something on the board, and there was an individual that happened to walk into the class, and he said something, and he asked a question. The Holy Spirit said, don't let him speak. I said, I'll answer your question later. And I didn't know what was going on, but I knew that the demons were trying to interfere and cause distraction. So I said, later. And I kept speaking and so forth, and then they tried to speak again. I said, later. And the officer twice said, is he interrupting? I said, no. She said, come here. She was upset with this guy. She goes, what's your problem? He says, I'm a Muslim. I said, let him go. Get him over here. Get him over here. He's okay. I kept saying, he's all right. So I turned around, Holy Ghost put boxing gloves on. Whoa! Shazam! And this kid got hit up, down, and all around with the Holy Spirit. He didn't have any questions. And I knew he was going to run when we started praise and worshiping. So I made sure he got a shut up and listen book on his way out. Now, after the service and everything, then this other religious dude came up to me and said, "Hey, Pastor, he really needs to get saved. He's lost." I said, "Man, you can't save him." "Oh," I said, "don't you push him. Don't you dare push that kid." I said, "Seeds have been planted in him." He said, "No seeds." I said, "Where you been?" See, the religiosity, they're all, "I got to get somebody saved so I feel good. I got to get somebody saved so I feel good, even though I'm an idiot. Even though I'm doing stuff behind closed doors, even though I know I'm not 100% obedient with God, I got to get somebody saved so I can feel good." And I knew that man was going to push that kid away. So as I left, I prayed. And I had to pray against the religious spirit in that man. "Is everybody okay?" Like, we can save anybody. Hello. The best way you're going to save someone is by your behavior, your conduct, what you do, and what you do in front of and behind a closed doors are the same. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. Where did I say to go? Did we read it? 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. Hallelujah. Don't let the devil put you to sleep now. Turn around and slap your neighbor and tell him, "Wake up!" You might have to turn around and say, "Come out!" Man, don't let them suck you in outer darkness. In verse 5. "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all." In other words, there is no deception. "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." Why? Because that's outer darkness. "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sins." Why? Because the blood is covenant. "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we are make him a liar, and his word is not in us." In other words, the blood is covenant. It covers. Now listen again. The blood covers the outer court. The spirit covers the holy place. The glory covers the most holy place. And the outer darkness is no covering. Has everybody got it? There is no covering in outer darkness. Amen. Go to Deuteronomy 28. No covering in outer darkness. Is everybody there? Deuteronomy 28. Oh, it's good to hear the pages flying on a Tuesday night. That way you can wait. See, if you're moving fast enough, you bring a fan to your neighbor. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 1. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. "Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth." If you what? Obey the voice of the Lord. Let me tell you something that I would say 50% of the body of Christ doesn't even know what the voice of God is, if not more. The only voice they know is what they read. They do not know His voice. And I'm not going in there tonight. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, and the produce of your ground, and increase of your herbs, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. So don't go out and buy cattle, okay, and put them in your yard. This is about blessings, okay? Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you. They didn't say nothing. He says they're going to come out against you. So if you're going through battles, because they're coming out against you. Everybody okay? They're going to come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. Why? Because you obeyed the voice of the Lord. The Lord would command a blessing on you and your storehouses and all to which you set your hand, and He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Glory. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to Himself, just as He sworn to you. If you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in His way, then all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. Why? Because they're fearing the presence of God, because the demons that are in them are causing them to fear. Obeying the voice of the Lord is blessing. What about disobeying the voice of the Lord? Curse. Amen. Go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. In verse 15. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Why? Because they're in the outer darkness. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Lust, covetousness, love of money, selfish ambitions draw people out into the blindness of the outer courts, known as the outer darkness. And the outer darkness is of the world. It is the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Go to Psalm 36. Is everybody there? Verse 1. An oracle within my heart concerning the transgression of the wicked, there is no fear of God before his eyes. That's one of the things the enemy always wants to remove from us, is the fear of the Lord. Reverence, respect, and honor. For he flatters himself in his own eyes when he finds out his iniquity and when he hates. The words of his mouth are wickedness and deceit. He has ceased to be wise and to do good. This is an individual that has been taken out of the courts of the Lord into outer darkness. He devises wickedness on his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good, and he does not abhor evil. In other words, he doesn't hate evil, but pets it. No fear. Doesn't hate evil. Bad behavior. 37. Psalm 37. Verse 1 through 8. But he says, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness is the light, and your justice as the noonday. Wait, rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way. Because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass, cease from anger, forsake wrath, and do not fret. It only causes harm. Go to verse 37. Is everybody there? Mark the blameless man and observe the upright. For the future of that man is what? Peace. But the transgressor shall be destroyed together. The future of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. The Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Hebrews 10. Hebrew. Actually, Shebrew this afternoon. Praise God. My wife brought me a cup of coffee before I got here. So Shebrew. That was dinner. Hebrew, Shebrew. Anybody brew. Hebrews 10, is everybody there? Verse 26. Hebrews 10, verse 26. Would you read it with me, please? For if we sin willfully after we received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins or a what? Covering. But a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you suppose will be bought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. That you may what? Receive the promise. Yes. The outer darkness is a court I don't want any part of. We don't want any part of it. We know that there are the final courts of the Lord's where there will be judgment and rewards. And I want to close at Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5 and verse 5. Is everybody okay? Ephesians 5. Let's go there. For this you know that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. For you were once what? Darkness. In other words, we were once in outer darkness. But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather what? Expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things are exposed that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever manifests the light. Therefore, he says, awake you who what? Sleep. Why? Because the ones that are sleeping are sliding from the courts of the Lord into where? Outer darkness. He says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light and life. This is why we do what we do. None of us wants any part of the outer darkness, do we? But we were there at one time. Some of us lived in torment and bondage. The physical outer darkness is the earth. The spiritual outer darkness is eternal damnation. I know neither one of us wants any part of it, but there are those who are in it. And it is our responsibility to stretch the hand of God out to rescue them. So it takes training. It takes training learning how to fight. It takes training. Training for reigning. And we must be willing to do whatever it takes to allow the Lord to train us up. So that we are not moved by circumstances. We are not moved by feelings. We are not moved by lack. We are not moved by persecution. We are not moved by disappointment. We are moved by the Spirit. It takes training. It'd be nice if it could happen overnight or drive through somewhere and get it all at once. Sorry. That's why they're called the courts of the Lord. There's three of them. We go from one court to the other. And we learn how to live there. Because living in the court of the Lord, there's no other satisfaction anywhere else. But miserable and tormenting. And I encourage each and every one, if there's things in your life that you need to get right, get them right. If you have fallen asleep, become compromised. If your only concern is your money. If your only concern is your life, then you are asleep. If Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you've given your life. Those who fight for their life have one foot in outer darkness and the other foot in the outer court. We are to surrender our life. Not build our life, build His life. David did not tell Solomon to build his life. He told him to build the house of God. And then Jesus came. It's the living house of God and it's an example. Stop fighting for your life. Surrender it. There is no other way. Be ready in season and out. Let the Holy Spirit train you up according to His way, not yours. Quit telling the Holy Spirit how to train you. You know what He does? He backs off. And let me tell you, when He backs off, the first spirit that shows up is familiar. Because a familiar spirit loves to interpret the Holy Spirit, and He wants to train you up His way. Why? Because He knows He's going to cause you to sow in the flesh. Then He can access you again. The Bible tells us to be as wise as the serpent and gentle as the dove. You have the Spirit, you have the mind of Christ. Let Him use you. Are you listening? Let Him speak to you. Learn the voice of God. Let Him train you up according to His way. And again, not your own. Time is running out. And you're going to see those more and more come out of the outer court into the outer darkness. They run back and forth. Like David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than dwell in the house of the wicked. Stay awake. Don't let the enemy deceive you and put you to sleep. Stand strong in the Lord and do it. Amen. Father, we thank You for Your word. We are honored and blessed. Lord, keep us hidden in the secret place. Continue to draw us to You. And Lord, any area where there's laziness, Lord, expose it in our life. Expose that darkness in our life, Lord, that we may take dominion over it and be filled with Your Spirit. And dwell in the courts of the Lord all of our days till we see You face to face in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Give Him a mighty hand, would you please? Glory!